Postcards from Beyond, written and narrated by Paul Harris. Harmlessness. Nibbana is the understanding that transcends the endless play of opposites found in the relative world. It's complete freedom from all neurotic preoccupations about where you, I, or anything else appears on the sliding scale between right and wrong, good and bad, or acceptable and unacceptable. With the comprehension of non-duality, all ignorant craving for life to be different is expunged forever. This means that the enlightened man or woman is free from having to live specifically by any ethical code. This is not to imply that they exist in some amoral vacuum, a law unto themselves. It is rather that their natural disposition is no longer being warped by greed, hatred, and delusion. The enlightened man or woman performs no unwholesome action of body, speech, or mind, and they are no longer a cause of suffering in the world. Their actions are spontaneous, blameless, and free, irrespective of how they may be perceived from the outside. The journey of inner discovery, however, that eventually culminates with full enlightenment, does require that we live by an ethical code. We all come into this world with greed, hatred, and delusion deeply rooted within us. And therefore, we all have the potential to be a harmful influence. To follow the meditative path successfully necessitates a gentle and compassionate outlook. How can we be mindful and investigate life with insight if we are at one at the same time cruelly abusing and exploiting it? We need to have an open, caring, and guilt-free relationship with the world. Harming and cruelty are born of ignorance and selfishness, and consequently lead to an ever greater sense of separation and isolation, in stark contrast to the reality of non-duality. An intrinsic part of the Buddhist way of life is to live by the precepts. These are five guidelines that regulate one's personal behaviour and, as a result, help to ensure that we are as harmless as possible. The five are: I undertake the rule of training to refrain from killing or harming living creatures, taking that which is not given, sexual misconduct, wrong speech, intoxication and mind-altering drink and drugs. All beings value their life, and no one wishes to experience pain. At the heart of it, keeping precepts is the endeavour to treat all living beings, including oneself, in exactly the same way that we ourselves would like to be treated. The result of abiding by these injunctions is a guilt-free existence and a greater sense of being a part of a benevolent, friendly universe. There's less of a necessity to close off psychologically to protect ourselves from the rest of the world because we experience less in the way of external conflict and we have few causes for regret. The training in ethics is natural and unforced. The precepts are not commandments, as in thou shalt not. Rather, they are tools for training, guidelines to be adhered to because someone sees the benefit to them personally in doing so. In the last analysis, we are all free to behave as we wish. We are free to pick up a trumpet and make as much of a racket as we want. But someone who takes the time and trouble to learn the rules of music and how to play the instrument properly can then use it to create something of great beauty. Developing an ethical lifestyle is no different. When we look at the world around us, with all its war, crime, and economic catastrophe, we see a place in which people are struggling to learn the rules that govern life's ethical dimension. The intelligent student is therefore happy to forego their freedom to do what thou wilt whenever they feel like it. They have a far nobler vision of what true freedom is. Just as when we learn anything, we're bound to make mistakes. No one can keep all the precepts perfectly all the time. In fact, as a teacher, it's quite telling when a meditator tries to give you the impression that they do. If you're genuine in attempting to keep the precepts as best you can, then an occasional lapse is not an issue. Breaking precepts does not make you a bad person, any more than hitting a bum note on a trumpet does. Of course, if people pay absolutely no heed to the results of their own blameworthy actions, then they will end up in a hellish existence, both in this life and in lives to come. Even then, however, that does not make them intrinsically bad people. It's just simply the workings of the impersonal law of karma. Whenever we perform an unwholesome action in body or speech, as a natural result, we experience a painful feeling and a sense of guilty dread or regret. It's not in any way personal. It's the same for everyone. What many people do is misread the guilty feeling and, taking it personally, react by justifying or blaming themselves and others. If, rather than trying to avoid these inevitable resultants, you are willing to be mindful of them and to acknowledge the message that they are giving you, then you begin to develop a very keen emotional intelligence. Sure, you've made a mistake, but here's an opportunity to take a few moments to reflect wisely and learn from it. An aware student restrains any desire to justify or blame on account of those feelings and stays with them. An uncomfortable, guilty feeling does not arise from nowhere. There will have been an associated memory of what took place. Having clearly comprehended the link between the result and the prior action, the student can then simply make a mental note to the effect that, given a similar situation in the future, they will endeavour to respond differently. All that's left to do is to stay with the feelings and mindfully watch as they start to fade away. Beyond this, there is nothing further to be done. You have performed an action and have experienced the natural result. There is no sword of Damocles left dangling over you, no divine thumb ready to squash you out of existence. You are free to forget it and move on. If from time to time another memory of the same past action arises, there will be another painful feeling. But these are just further reverberations of that deed occurring in the mind stream, and they can be treated in exactly the same way. Understanding the reality of karma and karma-vipaka, action and the results of action, and taking mindful responsibility for our behaviour in this way can save us from a whole heap of unnecessary spiritual angst, guilty trips, and possibly years of expensive psychoanalysis. Developing an ethically mature and intelligent outlook is not easy. There are many difficulties that we face, and the potential to fall into what in Buddhism we call the woeful way is real and great. Fortunately, when we begin the training, the path is very wide indeed. As long as our external behaviour is not too extreme, we'll be fine. We need, however, to bear in mind that were we to go too close to the edge, then we risk falling into a deep and dark abyss from which it will take an awfully long time to emerge again. In that sense, keeping the precepts is a very real protection. As we continue to cultivate our ethics, mindfulness, and wisdom, the path naturally becomes narrower. Our awareness of what constitutes blameworthy behaviour becomes ever more subtle, and even relatively unassuming breakages in the precepts are found to leave a dark mark in the mind stream. This can occur to the point where no one else is even aware that something untoward has happened, and yet to us, it's obvious, precisely because we can read the signs. We experience the same kind of painful feelings and sense of regret. So it's our own direct experience that narrows the path in terms of what we personally consider to be good and bad, or acceptable and unacceptable. It's not something enforced from without. When, inevitably, from time to time we are blamed, criticised, or judged by others, we know where they are right and where they are mistaken, and in either case, we find that we remain relatively unruffled. There's no way, by this stage in our development, that they could possibly know us better than we know ourselves. We find that when occasionally we do fall off the edge, it's not too bad at all. It's more like falling off a street curb, and it's easy to just step back onto the path. Taking responsibility in this way means that we can enjoy lives that are far more harmonious and peaceful. Additionally, we develop compassion and equanimity with regard to other people's misdemeanors and tend not to enter into the blame game because we know where they're coming from. After all, the human condition is common to us all. Simply living an ethical life, however, can never produce complete freedom. You are still bound by the need to maintain vigilance and to act with restraint. Only with full enlightenment are you truly free, when all extremes and polar opposites have been transcended. Then it is as if the path completely merges with the surrounding landscape. You are finally unbounded and free to live spontaneously as you wish, without any guilt or fear of falling at all. The root of all inefficient and unwholesome behaviour is ignorance, and once that veil has finally fallen, the need for any specific ethical restraint has gone. Most people who realise enlightenment, however, choose to maintain a meditative discipline and an ethical lifestyle. Gotama said that he lived by the very training he taught and took Dhamma as his standard. This, he said, was for the purposes of ease of living here and now. There was no craving and no resistance of any kind. The enlightened mind is entirely harmless. It was simply his preference. The Buddha compared the mind freed from all passionate resistance to a trackless flight of a bird. From time to time, people may find fault with an enlightened being, blaming them for some perceived injustice or character flaw. He or she will be able to bear the accompanying painful feelings comfortably, knowing full well that they are the results of actions long since past. They will also be able to clearly comprehend where such criticisms are valid and when it is just their accuser's own neurotic preoccupations being projected onto them. Either way, they cannot be trapped by other people's storylines anymore. The enlightened know that they hurt no one. Their actions are blameless. Lacking in all craving, hatred, and delusion, they leave no karmic residue at all. They see the world as it really is. A picture drawn on the surface of water.